Hello, everyone. We want to give you a ginormous Revival Radio welcome. I think that's a word, right? Ginormous. We thank you so much for joining us today. We're an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located here in Southern California. And today, Pastor John Miller continues his series based upon Matthew chapter 24 called What Jesus Taught About the End of Time. Jesus said, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." What is the abomination of desolation? Today, Pastor John Miller explains more about this prophetic event as well as the rebuilding of the temple. Let's join him right now with today's teaching. Here's Pastor John.
But there's going to be a third temple. In order for there to be an abomination of desolation, guess what you have to have? A temple. Duh. Right? You have to have a temple built again, and the Jews will only build it on the original site where Solomon's temple was built. And then that temple being rebuilt, the Jews will hail him as their Messiah. And the first 3 years of this period of tribulation known as the time of Jacob's trouble or the 70th week of Daniel, it will be a time of peace. A time of peace. And believe me, Israel is yearning for peace. Israel is desiring peace. They've been living with war for so many years. Since 1948, they've lived with war. You say, well, how do you know the temple is going to be rebuilt? Because the Bible actually says there will be a rebuilt temple. Now, I'm going to give you just a little taste. I found this video that was from a newscast in Israel that talks about just the viability and that people do want to build this third temple. There's a lot of information that there are those that are zealous and desirous to build a third temple, which will be the fulfillment of this abomination. So I don't know where I look or where it is, but let's watch this video.
Israel says it's planning to replace the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem Al-Quds with a temple. The Minister of Housing and Construction has called for the construction of what he calls the third temple to replace the holy site. Uri Ariel says the first and the second temples were destroyed many years ago, so the third one needs to be built now. Al-Aqsa Mosque is considered the third holiest site in Islam. Palestinians have denounced the plan as desecration. They say it's part of Israel's ongoing attempts to distort the Arab and Islamic history. Palestinians argue that Jerusalem is the capital of a future Palestinian independent state and that its heritage should remain intact.
Now, sorry about that quality. We lifted off the internet. But basically, I'm saying this is a real deal. This is a real deal. There are Jews today that have committed themselves. Now is the time. This is the generation for the temple to be rebuilt. But the Arabs, of course, there are Arabs that say, no, this is our holy site. You can't build the temple there. It's not going to happen. And the Bible actually predicted in the last days that God would make Jerusalem a burdensome stone around the neck of the nation. And I believe that this is what this Antichrist is going to do. He's going to work out a peace agreement in which the Jews can build their temple. Now, a lot of archaeology has gone into studying the Temple Mount, and they believe that the temple can be rebuilt outside the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque and still not infringe on the Dome of the Rock and the holy sites of the Muslims and all that kind of thing. I don't know about that. I haven't really looked into that, but none of that really matters. We know from the Bible that a temple will be rebuilt, and we see the stirrings of it today and the commitment of it today. The breeding of the red heifer and the instruments that the priest would need and all the things coming together so that they can have their sacrifices once again. And what happens is the Antichrist is going to desecrate the temple. How will he do that? He's going to go into the temple. He's going to erect an image of himself. And he's going to command everyone to worship him. And if you do not worship him and you do not take a mark on your right hand or your forehead, then you'll be put to death. This is the sign. Jesus is answering the question of verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The sign will be the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And again, read 2 Thess chapter 2, Revelation chapter 13, and the Daniel verses, and they all coincide describing when there will be this erected image in the temple, and that will be the sign for the Jews to know this is not our Messiah, this is not the Savior of the world. And as we're going to see in the next few verses, Jesus tells them then to flee, because then is going to be a time of great tribulation. Remember in the Old Testament book of Daniel when King Nebuchadnezzar made a great big golden image in the plains of Dura, and he commanded everyone to bow down and worship that golden image? He had his band strike up a happy tune, and every Sabbath he had to come, and whoever didn't bow down and worship the golden image had to be thrown where? Into a fiery furnace, right? And so they all gather together. You see this great big sea of people. The band starts up their music, and everyone bows but three fellas. I want to meet these guys when I get to heaven. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I see this picture, the sea of people bowing down to this golden image, this idol that is erected. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the only three guys, and they're probably teenagers like, whoa, this is awkward, you know. It's like, well, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. And praise God they didn't burn, amen? So the king threw him in the furnace. Don't you love that story? Threw him in the fiery furnace, bound hand and foot. They landed in the furnace. So hot was the flames of the furnace that when they landed in the furnace, the guys that threw him in got burned up. And they landed in the furnace. The only thing that burnt were their robes. Pop. And they're standing around, walking around in the furnace, hanging out. The minute my ropes burst, I'd be, woo, I'm out of here. Puff of smoke, woof, I'm out of here. They're like walking around, they're hanging out, oh, what's going on? And the king comes up and he says, hey, how many guys did we throw in that furnace? They said, three, O king. He said, I see four. And the image of the fourth looks like the Son of God. Jesus Christ, I believe, appeared with them in that fiery furnace. And I believe that the Lord is able to protect the Jewish people as they go through this time of tribulation, that many of them will be saved, that it'll be the greatest time of Jewish evangelism in the history of the world. They might go through the furnace, but if they don't bow to the image of the Antichrist, then they won't burn. God will protect them, and God will watch over them. He'll put his seal upon their forehead. So basically, it's going to be the Antichrist comes into the rebuilt temple, and he sets up an image of himself, and he desecrates the Jewish temple, and he commands everyone to worship him. It happens 3.5 years into this time of tribulation. Now, notice verse 16 down to verse 20, the response to the abomination of desolation. Then let them which be on which be in Judea. So again, this is referring to the Jewish people in the time of the tribulation when they're in Judea. Flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field go back to take his clothes. And woe, verse 19, to them that are with child in those days. Or he's talking about a mother that's nursing a child. To them that are nursing children in those days. But pray that your flight or your exodus be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, what he's warning the Jews of is there's coming this time of great tribulation, the last 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years, God is going to pour out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. And he's using that time to prepare the nation of Israel to be broken and humbled and repentant and see their need of their Messiah. And when they see Christ coming, we're going to get there in just a moment, in power and glory, they'll look on him whom they have pierced and they'll weep. But it's going to be a time of Jewish evangelism. Many people will be saved during the time of the tribulation. So he says when this happens, when you see this abomination of desolation, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, you can read Revelation chapter 12, and again, we won't turn there, but here's the cross-reference in the book of Revelation. that there's this woman, it represents Israel, and to her is given the wings of an eagle, and she flies into the wilderness where she will be sheltered for 3.5 years. God is going to take care of the nation of Israel. Then if you were on the housetop, flat roofs, they're hanging out on the housetop, don't come down to take anything out of the house. In other words, this is so urgent, it's so radical. Don't grab any, don't grab the photo album, don't grab the pictures of the kids, don't grab your checkbook, don't grab your phone, don't grab any. Just go right down the outside of the house, which they had stairs, and flee, because a horrible time of tribulation is coming. And let them which are on the housetop not come down. Don't take your coat if you're out in the field working. Don't run back and pack your suitcase. Woe to those that are with children and those that are nursing in those days. You seen the pictures of the refugees? They're fleeing from Syria. They're fleeing from Libya and all the war. And they have their little children. They're trying to get on the trains. They're in the crowds. And I can't think of anything more horrible than to have a wife and small children in a time of war, and to feel that responsibility of their care and their protection. And so it's a horrible time for those that are vulnerable and those that are young. There's going to be time of great tribulation, as Jesus goes on to say, such it was not ever since the beginning of time. So we see the response to the abomination of desolation. Then in verse 21 to 25, we see the perils. We see the perils. And what this is the tribulation itself, the last 3.5 years, is actually a sign to the Jews that their Messiah, Jesus, is coming again. Follow with me, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor to this time, nor ever shall be. Now I want you to think about these words that Jesus uttered. The greatest time of tribulation ever upon the earth. And the best way to describe it without going to Revelation 6 through 18, and by the way, that's the great tribulation, Revelation 6 through 18, is very simple. God in heaven will actually be pouring out his wrath upon the earth. You think things are bad right now? You think the pollution and the smog and the racial wars and all the tension and all the fighting and all the earthquakes, all the things that you can name of being making the world a horrible place, you haven't seen anything yet. God is going to wipe out planet Earth, which it's his. He made it. And I'm all for environmentalism. I don't think we should destroy the earth, but wait till you see what God does to it. And his wrath is actually being poured out upon this world. There's the seal judgments. There's the trumpet judgments. There's the bowl judgments. There's going to be an abuso, a pit, opened up. And I mentioned the demons that are incarcerated. They're going to be opened up. And demons are going to come flying out like scorpions. And they're going to sting men and torture men. But death will take a holiday. And men will not be able to die. And there'll be famine and earthquakes and pestilence. There'll be all these wrath. There'll be horrible sores. God pours out this judgment upon the earth. People break out in the sore. There's darkness. Jesus, and we're going to get it next Sunday night, says the moon will be turned to blood. Everybody's amped about the blood moon and all that stuff. The issue with the blood moon, I believe, takes place in the tribulation. It's not going to happen. It may happen, but it's not going to be what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the tribulation period. I believe the church is caught up to meet the Lord in the air before his reference to the moon become blood and the sun black and dark as sackcloth of hair. And the stars of heaven will fall from heaven and the earth will be shaken. It'll reel to and fro like a drunken man. The Old Testament prophets spoke over and over about this time of trouble, this time of tribulation. They said it'll be a time of darkness, thick darkness. Again, I believe the church is the light of the world, and when the church is caught up to meet the Lord in the air, the earth will get very dark. I believe the church is the salt of the earth. And when the church is caught up to meet the Lord, remember this morning I mentioned Abraham praying and interceding for the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. If there be 10 righteous, would you spare the city? Yeah, I'll spare it for 10. I believe that all true Christians, the church, will be taken off planet Earth. And once the righteous are taken out, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. His wrath will be poured out. The end of Revelation chapter 6, they run to the mountains and the rocks, and they say, fall on us and hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb who sits upon the throne, for the great day of His wrath has come. It's actually God pouring out His wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. We see in the world today the birth pains, the labor pains that are leading up to this time of tribulation. It's going to get worse and worse. There'll be persecution and death, and true believers will be put to death for their faith. And so from Revelation 6 to 18, up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you have a time of great tribulation upon the earth. Now Jesus says in verse 21, not only great tribulation, but verse 22, and except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, the shortening doesn't mean that it's going to be less than 3.5 years or less than 7 years overall. The word shortened literally means in the Greek, brought to a quick stop. It means that it'll be brought to a quick stop. And what's going to happen is that this tribulation will be ended with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Remember I told you that the Jewish day begins at dark? And it gets darker and darker. The beginning of the day is dark, and it gets darker and darker until the next day dawns, which is the dawning of a new day. The world is going to get darker and darker and darker and darker until the dawning of a new day, which will be ushered in at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So he predicts that there. Jesus is talking about his own return in answer to the question in verse 3. But those days need to be shortened, come to an abrupt end, or there shall be no flesh upon the earth. Now the elects there are not the church, but they are the Jews and tribulation saints, people who get saved after the rapture who are alive on earth during that time. He says, then if any man says to you, verse 23, lo, here is Christ, or there, don't believe it. So there'll be the Antichrist, there'll be the false prophet, and everyone will follow after him. There will be a unification of the world. There will be a unification of religions. Have you been watching the news on the Pope's visit? And they had an ecumenical meeting, I don't know where, but the Pope's up there, and a Buddhist monk is up there, and a guy from Taoism is up there, and a Muslim's up there. Everybody's up there, and they're all singing Kumbaya and holding hands. This is a sign we're close to the tribulation. We have our little bumper stickers, coexist. Everybody's talking globally and taking care of our Mother Earth and the whole thing and all the demonic spiritual movies and shows and the pollution of the minds of little kids. Everybody's being open to this last day deception. People don't even think anymore. There's no concept of right or wrong. They're dupes waiting for the coming of the Antichrist. They will be deceived. Because they reject the truth, their minds and hearts will be hardened. They will believe the lie and follow after Satan. And the Antichrist and the false prophet will actually be able to do signs and wonders and miracles. And millions of people will follow after them. You see the crowds gathering. I'm not saying the Pope is the Antichrist, by the way, okay? Don't leave here tonight saying, he said the Pope was the Antichrist. No, but I look at the crowds wooing and worshiping and swooning and amazed by this man that they believe is Christ's representative on the earth. And it scares me. It really scares me. The allegiance they pledge to a man who is a sinner like you and I, who needs to be saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says there's only one mediator between the God the Father and us, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Not a saint or Mother Mary or anyone can get you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, we have been saved. Now, I want you to notice, He says, "Behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they shall say, verse 26, unto you, behold, He's in the desert." He's in Barstow. Anybody says the Messiah is in Barstow, I don't think so. Don't believe it. Believe it not. Go not forth. Behold, He is in the secret chambers. He's hiding in an apartment in London, England. Behold, believe it not. For as the lightning shines or comes from the east, out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Son of Man is a messianic title, and it's a reference to the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. He's coming back in power and glory. Verse 28, "For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Now, Jesus actually predicts in verse 27 His second coming. Not the rapture, but the second coming. And when does the second coming happen? At the end of the seven-year tribulation. During the Battle of Armageddon, when all the armies of the world will gather together. And I should have got you a picture of that, because last year we were there and I got some pictures of the plains of Megiddo, the valley of Jezreel, where all the armies of the earth will gather together. And even modern soldiers and warfare fellows can see that there's that land bridge from Europe in the west to Asia in the east and the Middle East, and the whole continent can gather together in this one area and fight this battle of Armageddon. The Bible says that the blood will be so deep in this valley that it will reach the bridle of the horses. All the armies of the earth, and China, the sleeping giant, which we're hearing more about right now, is going to bring an army of 200 million. The Euphrates dried up, and they come from the east, and they all gather together, and they're doing battle against the Antichrist and his armies. It's World War III. The end of the world will end with another war, but guess what happens in the middle of that war? Da-da-da-da! Riding upon His white horse, and I cannot resist. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 19. Can't resist it any longer. Revelation chapter 19. And verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that was on him is called Faithful and True. And it says, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire." I love this. "His head were many crowns." The word is diadems, kingly crowns. "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." Only John the Apostle uses that title for Jesus Christ.
Today we learned about the greatest time of tribulation ever to be on the earth. Jesus said, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." The elect refers to the nation of Israel. And finally, the tribulation will end with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And there will be no doubt, His return will be obvious. Jesus said, "For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes." Now, if you're interested in studying more on today's topic, Pastor John Miller also has a four-part series available called "Are These the Last Days?" This terrific resource, it's going to help take the guesswork out of understanding the end times for you, and will give you special practical advice for these perilous times and the times to come. Now, Pastor John addresses such topics as the rapture of the church, the Antichrist, and the second coming of Christ in this series. It's available in CD or DVD for just $15. It barely covers our cost. So order your resource today by calling 866 866-973-8482. Once again, 866-973-8482. Also, if you've been encouraged, if you've been challenged, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Revival Radio, would you prayerfully right now consider a financial gift so we can reach more people with the power of the gospel? Your gift in any amount, no matter how small or how large, your partnership makes all that we do possible. Now you can make a donation very simply by going to our website, revival.tv, and clicking on the Give button. It's really that simple. Thank you so much for your generous support that keeps us going. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, may every one of us continue to preach the word, be ready in season, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.